Well, good morning, everyone. Anyone that knows me knows that I struggle with an addiction, and the fact that people are laughing already just shows the sheer compassion of this group. I have a rather unique addiction, and the thing is, I am addicted to nature shows. And here's the thing with the nature show and me, I rarely, if ever, will go watch a nature show on purpose. It's not like I look to see what shows are going to be on and schedule my day around that. No, that's not how it works for me. Usually for me, it's a result of channel surfing. And I'll just be watching TV, and I can't stand commercials. And so the commercial will come on. I grab the remote. A giraffe. And I'll just be stuck there because I got to find out what happens with the giraffe. I mean, do they actually say neef neef? You know, those kinds of things. And so I will just be stuck there. And this happened to me a while ago. I'm watching TV, commercial comes on, and it's just a duck. There was a duck. There was a female duck. You could tell it was a female duck because of its colors. But this female duck flew up into a tree. Not into a tree. That would be kind of funny. You know, just never see that kind of stuff in nature. But this duck, there was a hole in a tree about 30 feet up from the forest floor. And this mama duck flies into the tree, lays eggs. The eggs hatch. And 24 hours after the eggs have hatched, the mama duck comes to the edge, looks down, and jumps and goes, it didn't actually make that sound, but I'm adding some audio to the visual. You know, gracefully landed on the forest floor, took a couple waddle steps, turned around, looked back up to the hole in the tree, and said, quackity quack. I don't speak duck, but I have since come to learn that what quackity quack means is leave your hole in the tree and jump. Because the mama duck said it a couple more times, just said, quackity quack. And this little baby duck sticks out its yellow head. Now, here's the thing. I'm a man. You know, I like barbecue, football, movies with senseless violence. I mean, all those kind of, it was so cute. And if you don't find a little baby duck somewhat adorable, it's evidence that you have a damaged soul. I really think this deep down. I think I read that in seminary somewhere. But this little baby duck comes out to the edge. Again, mama duck looks up, says, quackity quack. And this little baby duck just goes and jumps. Have you ever seen a baby duck fly? No, because they can't. This little baby duck jumps and goes, and it does nothing. And it drops straight down and hits the forest floor. And I'm not kidding, bounced. And he gets up and goes, and waddles over toward the mom. And then the mama duck goes, quackity quack. Because apparently that one's got brothers and sisters. And one by one, each one of like seven or eight of them jumps out of the tree, flaps uselessly, and bounces, goes, and gets up and goes behind the mom. I'm sitting there going, but the show wasn't over yet, because then the mama duck does a 180 and starts hiking. I don't know if ducks hike, but went for a long walk in the forest. A mile long is how far this little duck was going, with all the little baby ducks going behind it. A couple Christmases ago, my oldest daughter bought me one of those watches that lets you know how many steps you've taken in a day. I'm somewhat embarrassed to say there are some days that I don't walk a mile. But this little duck with all the little ducklings, they hike a mile through the forest and get to a pond, and they all jump in the pond. And when that happened, I turned off the program and sat there and it just went, I'm a baby duck. And you are baby ducks, which makes Jesus the mama duck. And don't take the analogy too far because it starts to break down after a little bit. But the reality is Jesus stands at the bottom of your tree and mine and says, quackity quack. Jesus stands at the bottom of your life and mine and says, jump. Leave where you are and jump to where I am. There's this wonderful moment in the Gospels, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that tell the story of Jesus' ministry, his life and death and resurrection. But at the beginning of the Gospels, there's this wonderful moment. Jesus is walking alongside a lake, and he comes to four fishermen. And he looks at the four fishermen, and he says, and you have to be very careful here. Be careful to pay attention to what Jesus does not say. At that moment, Jesus looks at these disciples and he does not say, these fishermen, drop your nets, come believe in me. That's not what he said. Now, don't get me wrong. Is it important to come to a place where we have a cognitive conclusion about who Jesus is, about whether or not he is who he says he is and did what the Bible says he did? Absolutely. It's important to come to a place where we believe this to be true. But in that moment, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus did not say, drop your nets, come believe in me. What he said instead was, drop your nets, come and follow me. Quackity quack. Jump. Leave where you are, come follow me, and I will show you a life worth believing in. Drop your nets. Quackity quack. Jump. Come, follow me. I'll show you a life worth living. I will show you what life in the pond is all about. In the 10th chapter of John, Jesus is talking to those same guys plus some others, and he says these words. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I come to give you life that you may have it to the full. Other translations will say, the thief comes to steal, to kill, destroy. I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. What Jesus is saying right here, come on, quackity quack, jump, leave where you're at, come and follow me, and I will show you a life that is full. I will show you a life that is full of hope and joy and compassion and mercy and love. Jump. I've never been that impressed by the first duckling. I mean, think about it. Mama says quackity quack. He or she doesn't know any better. Looks out, mom says jump. My entire life, she's been good to me, all 24 hours of it. Quackity quack, okay. Mama duck calls, and so baby duck jumps. I've always been impressed by the second duck. Because mama duck said quackity quack, second duckling gets out there and goes, no. Did you see what happened to Billy? He bounced like a tennis ball. Thank you, nope. You've been good to me for these 24 hours, but as for me and my siblings, we are going to stay in here. This seems like a much better idea. We're going to stay right where we are at. I've often wondered what would happen if the baby ducklings chose not to jump. I'll tell you what would happen to those ducklings. They would be safe high up in their tree. They would be safe. They would be comfortable. And if the mama duck returned repeatedly, they would be well fed. But they never would have learned to fly. They never would have experienced life in the pond. And ultimately, they would have died in their safe, comfortable place. And tragically, what I have just described is not simply the fate of those ducklings. I have just described too often the state of the church in North America, where we have elevated comfort and safety to be the things that are most important. Oh, and then we come on Sunday mornings, make sure that we're well fed. Interestingly enough, Jesus never promises that when we follow him, that we're guaranteed safety. He never guarantees that you're going to be comfortable. If anything, he speaks directly against that. He goes, no. I want you to jump. Not so that you can be safe, not so that you can be comfortable, so that you can have life and have it to the full. So that you can actually know my mercy and know my grace, so that you can partner with me in compassion, mercy, and justice. I want you to jump so that you can have life as it was intended to be lived. Quackity quack. Jump. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. The thief wants nothing more than for us to fight about things like preference and tradition and what makes us comfortable and guarantees our safety. Let's fight about that. Oh, the enemy wants nothing more than for the people of God to fight about those kind of things instead of being a people that risk jumping out of a tree to follow a Jesus worth following so that we can get to the pond and experience a life worth believing in. If you were to talk to somebody and they say, hey, do you go to church? And you go, yeah, I go to Community Covenant Church. Oh, really? What's Community Covenant Church all about? You can answer it in one of two ways. There's a two-word answer, there's a three-word answer. Oh, you go to Community Covenant Church. What's Community Covenant Church all about? Two-word answer, quackity quack. I kid you not, if you actually answered somebody that way, you're going to get a great look on their face, and you just open up a door for a huge conversation. You go, yeah, let me tell you about some baby ducks. There's a reason why this was the first sermon I preached at this church when I first got to this church. And I told you on that day, I will preach this sermon again. And so on our first Jump Sunday, I preached this sermon. On the second Jump Sunday, I preached this sermon. On the third Jump Sunday, I preached this sermon. This is the fourth Jump Sunday. And it's the fifth time I've preached this sermon because this needs to be something that we as a church are able to articulate to anybody who wonders. What are you guys about, quackity quack? Let me tell you about some baby ducks. Yes, I believe in Jesus, but I believe in him because I followed him and I saw a life worth living and a life worth believing in. Someone asks you what this church is all about, you can just say quackity quack, or you can give the three-word answer. Connecting, growing, serving. It's how we as a church follow Jesus. Because he stands at the bottom of our tree. He says, quackity quack. And when we have the courage and the faith to actually jump and we begin to follow him, the question becomes, how do we follow? Well, we are committed to connecting, growing, and serving. Connecting with Jesus Christ and with one another. Growing closer to Jesus Christ and one another. And serving Jesus Christ by serving other people. And it's interesting to note, and my wife's sitting right here, so she's going to make sure I get this right. All of those words, connecting, growing, serving, end with the same three letters, and those three letters are ing, which is a present participle. She teaches English. I was a history major. But one of the things that the ing, that participle, says is a continual action. May we never be a church that says, oh yeah, there was a time that I followed Jesus. There was a time that I connected with Jesus. There was a time that I grew close to Jesus. There was a time that I served Jesus. Oh, no, ing. Our growing, our connecting, our serving should not simply be about our history, but about our present and our future. Quackity quack. Will you jump? It's not something you go, yeah, there was a time way back in my story that I jumped and I chose to believe in Jesus. Great, wonderful, praise God. Responding to the quackity quack of Jesus is something we do every day. Will you jump and choose to follow Jesus today? I need to introduce you to two friends. I need Emily Talent and John Ancona to join me up here. All right. We're going to put you on a really tall ladder and see if you'll jump. I'm just kidding. Let's go ahead and join me up here. I think so. Yeah. All right. Nervous a little?
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at public speaking.
All right. Woo! That's what I'm talking about.
I'm schooled.
Yes, you have. Okay, first off, not everyone might know you at this point. So tell us your name and how long you have been part of Community Covenant Church.
I'm Emily, and I think my family's only been going for 3 or 4 months.
Yep.
My name is John, and this is our one-year anniversary today.
Yep. Our first Sunday was Jump Sunday last year. Okay, this past summer, both of you went to summer camp. Where'd you go to camp?
We are up in Oak Ridge. I tried to find where it was. I couldn't. It's up in the mountains.
All right, so foothills direction. Yeah. All right, how about you?
Fort Wilderness, Wisconsin. This is our fifth year. It's a Christian church. That's Christian camp.
All right, and you went with your whole family, right?
My whole family. This is Diane and my two kids.
Yeah, because these guys used to live in the Chicago area, and they used to go there. Okay, now, at camp this summer, both of you did something. Both of you chose to got baptized. Tell us why you decided to get baptized this summer, because both of you guys were people that would have said, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but then this summer something happened. Who wants to go first?
So, originally at camp, it was the last day, and we were supposed to do like a swing dance party, because it was like we're high schoolers, and it was a youth group, and we're all having fun. But throughout the course of 4 or 5 days, everybody had just been so moved that they cut off the activity and they said, we're doing baptisms in the pool. And so I had the only group of cabins. Everybody else's was right there. But we had the cabins where you had to go up probably 50 yards of this steep hill. And I went up and I just got on my jeans and my sweater because it was cold. And I came down. And you go up the hill, and then there's a plateau and another hill. So I had gotten down, and I was at this plateau in my comfy clothes, and I got there, and I just stopped looking down at the hill, and I could not move. I was just like there was a wall or somebody holding me back, just wouldn't let me go down the hill. And I was just staring down at this hill, and I was just like, yep. I'm getting baptized tonight because I couldn't move. I was just looking and I was like thinking, I was like, I just froze. Like there's nothing in me could bring that step down that second hill. And I ran back up and I got on a swimsuit and some shorts and a t-shirt and I ran back down with the towel and I got baptized in the pool that night.
How about you, John?
So every week that we go, there's a pastor that comes up and lectures to us. And this lecture was about the past, present, and future. You live in your past, you live in anxiety, you live in fear, or guilt, I should say. The past is all about guilt. Your future is all about anxiety and what's going to happen. And he was preaching, live in the present, live in the present. Well, my life has always been about the past and the future. It's never been about the present. So the Wednesday night, prior to really affirming my belief, I prayed to stay in the moment, to stay in the moment. I prayed to God to talk to me and say something to me in the present. Thursday morning comes up. I'm sitting there watching my kids horseback ride, and that's my hour. That's my hour of which it's peace, quiet, nothing to do. I get to read my book. And so this was my hour of reading my book. So I open my book, and the words are blurry. Can't read. He won't let me read. So he's like, get up and go walk over and talk to that woman. And I'm like, This is my hour. I only have the hour. And I go back to reading. He's like, nope, get up, go talk to that lady. And I'm like, really? I got to follow you now? Now? Get up. And I go over and I talk to the lady. And it was an interesting conversation. She's older. She lost her husband to some type of lung disease that I know about. And then she just recovered from cancer. And it was a really just a moving conversation. And it hit me that that was the moment where he actually talked to me. And I've never felt that feeling before. And it was just one of those overwhelming, wow. I talked to a couple of friends I have up there who are leaders. And he's like, it's time to get baptized. I'm like, I've been baptized twice. I'm good. And he's like, nope. And so yeah, I went ahead and did it.
Outstanding. Sometimes when I hear these kinds of stories, I go, man, I wish I was having those kind of experiences where I was stopped in my tracks and couldn't walk. And, you know, I wanted to do my thing. And all of a sudden, I couldn't read. And it's like, man, I wish I was having those. And I think sometimes we forget that God is constantly saying quackity quack, that his spirit is constantly saying quackity quack. Problem is, we're so busy with our agenda. I'm going to go put on my comfy clothes. I'm going to have my hour to myself. I'm going to do things my way. That we end up closing ourselves off to what God is trying to teach us to do. He's constantly saying, no, 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 quackity quack. I want you to jump. For some people, it's a big first time kind of jump. Like, whoa, I've never even considered this whole following Jesus thing. For others, it's a, this isn't about just your past. Let's do something today. I want you to jump. When the song comes up on the screen, oh, I don't sing. Maybe today's the day to sing. I don't sit at that table. Maybe today's the day that you listen to the whisper of the Holy Spirit say, quackity quack, time to jump to a new table. It's too hot outside. Quackity quack, maybe it's time to go outside and meet a kid. I'd rather be at the water slide. Quackity quack, maybe it's time for you to go inside and meet somebody that's a little older than you. Quackity quack, see that lady over there? I want you to go talk to her. Quackity quack, I don't want you to say anything. I want you to be still and listen. Quackity quack, wait a second. I've always been in this small group. Quackity quack, maybe it's time to go to a new one. I meant every word I said when I said that Jesus stands at the bottom of your tree and mine and says, quackity quack, jump, come, follow me. The question for this day and every day is the same. Will you jump? Jump.